Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the ability to come together. And Lord, the topics that we bring, they come from you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our thoughts, help to organize our thoughts, help us to talk about what you want us to learn, because it's all about you, and we're here to learn ourselves. But Lord, I pray for the topic at hand. Help us to understand your grace and how to parent in a time where things feel like everything is upside down. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Welcome back, everyone. We're on a topic today of it's grace in parenting. And if you've lived long enough and have had a parent, or you are a parent, you may understand that there are sometimes things that we do right and some things we don't do right. So we want to talk about grace in parenting and how it can affect us, not only in our mental health, but our children's mental health, and how we can help to build a good foundation when it comes to things in life. So, Kevin, why don't you go ahead and start us off with what we're going to talk about?
Well, thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everyone. Just about every single one of my patients, whether they're individuals or couples, can trace their difficulties, their challenges back to childhood times where their parents have failed them, but their parents have successfully reared them in a lot of ways as well. But where there's been failures or lack of love, that lack of love can be through neglect, through mom or dad working too much, and the children don't have their presence. That's a lack of love, not intended maybe, but it happens. Those children, and there's outright abuse too. Those children have problems because of that. So there's a lot of problems that parenting can create in our children. And again, a lot of their mental health struggles and challenges are because of the difficulty in parenting. Now, we in our modern world, as you guys know, we have several extremes of parenting. We have parenting that's super tolerant, that whatever their kids want to be, then that is okay. And that goes against what the Word of God says. The Word of God has parameters in terms of what good parenting is and what proper childlike behavior should be. And there's parenting by neglect. A lot of parents allow the electronics to rear their kids and be babysitters. There's parenting by extreme adoration. Everything a child does, if he picks his underwear off the floor, then he gets a 2-foot trophy like the best kid in the block. No, come on. It's just taking care of his laundry. And so we see these extremes, and we see parents that argue with their kids, that are dictators, that are mean-spirited, that because of that discourage their children, and that confidence that should be built in childhood is not instilled in the child, and it just tears them down. And again, I have a lot of individuals coming to me for counseling because they do not have a healthy thought or a foundation of self-esteem, because the parents absolutely shredded them, and they didn't give them any right to grow up. The parents became enmeshed with the children and did not allow the children to learn to make their own decisions. So many problems in parenting. And what we'd like to point out is parenting, grace in parenting, you know, not to be too harsh, not to be too tolerant, not to be too neglectful, but to have godly balance in how we parent in our children so that they can be fully functional, healthy adults when they get older.
Yeah, so well said from both of you. I love this conversation because all three of us are parents, and we know the joys and the heartaches. And we want to say to you, the listener, there is much suffering in parenting. And this is why I say that, because I've learned that if you're doing it correctly, you're dying. You must die to yourself in order to parent well. And this is what the Bible gives us hope in, because the more that we die to ourselves and our will, we have the potential then to walk in the will of the Father. right? And so the will of our Father is that we would walk in love. And I want to say right from the get-go what love is, and as well as what grace is. And so I think a lot of times we do not understand love because we keep thinking it's a feeling. And it is. Love is definitely a feeling. But the three of us would like to really emphasize that love is more of a decision and a commitment more than anything, right? Because we don't always feel loving, okay? But we can make a decision, whether it's to our spouse, our neighbor, our children. We may not feel love, but we can be loving. And I want you to understand that difference, because even on the days that you don't even like your child, and if there's every honest parent, especially if they got a teenager, okay, just like you were very unlikable as a teenager, your teenagers have been very unlikable. And I know that there's been times I didn't even like my child. I loved them, but I couldn't even feel the love because I didn't like the way that they were behaving, but I could still do loving things. I could still lean in and do loving things without tolerating the sin. And this is what we're talking to you about, because this is a challenge, right? Joseph and Kevin get a lot of calls from clients who are struggling in this area. So we know that it's at an epidemic proportion. Now, I want to tell you what grace is, because grace has a lot of different meanings. But the way that biblically it's used really is the undeserved and unearned favor of God. You can't earn it, and you can't, and you don't deserve it. And this is the grace that we're often talking about that we give to our children, right? If the only way that they get an A is that they dotted every I and crossed every T, right? Then what we do is we actually create little Pharisees, and we don't even realize it. And, you know, I heard a really respected psychologist say this, gentlemen. He said, straight A's can be a trauma response too. And see, we get that because perfection is usually born out of a place of fear of missing the mark. And the reality is, every single one of us missed the mark. The Bible's the one that tells us that from the very beginning, but we just know it from our own experiences. And so Joseph, Kevin, and I want to say, listen, we've missed the mark. We've missed it so big. We're poster children for it. And we're here to say, but God's grace, his undeserved, unearned favor has kept us getting up and moving on. And we want to give that to you as well today. And we want to give you some warnings. Because just like you so beautifully unpacked, Kevin, man, there's a lot of ways to get parenting wrong. And here's the thing that we want to say to you. You're going to get it wrong. You're going to get it wrong. That's the first thing. Give yourself grace. But there is a way to get it better, get it right. And we're going to talk about some of those ways. And even talk about at the end, what happens is if you've already raised them and it's over and now you don't get another chance. Well, we're going to talk about that too.
Parenting is not for the faint of heart. It's something that can either go really well or it goes really bad sometimes. But there are different, I would say, stages of parenting where it feels like it's the worst, then it goes really well, then it feels like the worst again, and then it goes really well. And I have to say, the first 3 to 4 years can be trying. It can be very difficult, because I like to use these stages. You have the infant stage where they're totally dependent upon you. You have to learn what it's wanting and be able to take care of it. And, you know, mothers and fathers are really good about learning that. Some are not. And then you go into what I call caveman stage, where you have this little person who walks around grunting and pointing, throwing temper tantrums, pounding the ground. You know, they're just a caveman or cavewoman. And they feel like they can dominate and just take over the space. And as a parent, sometimes we get frustrated, we get tired, we want to appease instead of correct, or we do these things. And so the reason why I say that is sometimes we set ourselves up, and we can set ourselves up for failure we can set ourselves up to have to fight a battle later on because we may have given up or tried to take the easy route. Now, every child's different. You have different temperaments. I have four children. I remember my oldest when she was maybe four or five. I was able to get her to clean her room or clean up her toys. And I took an approach that was very kind of different. And she was in the habit that if anything was in a container or in a box or a drawer, it all had to come out. And as a parent, that's very frustrating. Because when you think she's taking a nap, what she's doing is she's rearranging her room. And so it comes to a point, and my daughter's 17 now, but it comes to a point where you walk in, you go, wow, this is a disaster. And you notice that she didn't take a nap. And I was like, oh, are you ready to come out? She's like, yeah. I said, all right, clean up. And then you can come out. And I close the door and I hear, wah, right? It wasn't what she wanted. And then I go back in and she's crying. I said, oh, are you crying? Do you want to come out? And she goes, yeah. I said, all right, clean up. And then you can come out. And I close the door. Third time I go in, she's still crying. And I said, oh, do you want daddy to help you? And she goes, yes. So I reached over, grabbed her little hands, picked up the clothes and put them into the drawers. And I said, look, we're helping. We're doing this, right? And what's interesting is I let go and she would go over and grab others and put them in. Well, she would do that every time. So if I said, all right, time to clean up, she'd go right into cleanup mode and start cleaning everything up. And the funny thing is we were at a party. And at the party, of course, all the toys came out. And usually before we leave somebody's house, I tell them, don't worry about it. She'll put it away. And said, all right, time to go. And she starts cleaning up, but there's other kids taking toys out. And it was very frustrating for her. I said, sweetie, don't worry about it. They're going to clean it up and leave. Now, one of two things can happen. You can yell at them. You can tell them you need to do this and you know, do things, you know, to cause them to either live in fear or try to, you know, try to coerce them, or you can give up and just let them do whatever they want. And the hard part is finding the time to actually work with them and to understand. Now, my son, totally different. I thought, oh, I've got this down with my daughter. This is perfect. I'm going to do the same thing with him. It was totally different. So every child's going to be different. Every child's going to have a different sort of mentality. For him, it was money. It's like we had a chore chart. And if you did those things, you can fill up the chore chart and you could get a toy. Man, he was Johnny on the spot. He was going to fill that thing up or do whatever it was. And you know, and it was like, golly, what's the next one going to be like? And so I'll tell you this. I had to do something the other day with my two youngest girls because, you know, they have chores. Everything that they do is, you know, part of the household. And my son usually vacuums. He's 15 now, but the 12 and the 10-year-old were sitting around and I said, okay, he doesn't want to do it because he's doing the dishes. Do you guys want to get paid? Because we do like a dollar or two to do certain chores, not everything, but you know, certain chores. And I said, do you want to vacuum for a couple dollars? And both of them are like, nah. It's like, okay. Do you want to do half the room for a dollar and you do the other half for a dollar? Nah. I said, okay. Do you guys want to do it for free? And they're like, and they're like, no. And so they both got up and each did, you know, half of the vacuuming throughout the house and they got a dollar, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's like, okay, well, do you want to do it for free? And just to see the reactions. But, you know, I'm, yeah, I'm being serious, but at the same time, you know, I have to kind of lay down the law, but I also have to give them grace and the ability to make their own decisions, to understand that there are consequences, and do those types of things. So each stage of life is going to be different. Each tactic's going to be different. You have to understand your children and then apply grace to when they either go against what you want to do or to allow them to be able to take the consequences and know that there are consequences, because if I'm not going to give them consequences, the world will.
Well, you're making it fun for them, Joseph. And let's just hope your children don't join the union and say, Dad, no, a dollar's not going to work anymore. It's going to take $5.
What's funny is that one of them said, oh, we're going to unionize. I'm like, great, you're paying dues. And
Yeah.
I was in three unions, so they can't pull that on me.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to point out, yeah, you're making it fun. A lot of parents don't know that, you know, they just want to be a drill sergeant or demand and all. And that goes against children. It really does. You may have some compliance, but it doesn't inspire wanting to do things. But another mistake that we as parents make or can make is we can be over permissive. Yes. You know, we have to look at God's grace as the example. God's grace doesn't equal permission for nonsense or letting our children run and control our homes. God, the Father, controls the family with a big F, with his parameters, with his guidelines, with his judgments and his reasoning and his word and the way he approaches things spiritually and how he teaches us and directs us. But oftentimes we let our kids just run amok and run our homes, and they're not equipped to do that. They're not mature enough to do that. They just can't. And so, but yet it's probably a facet of neglect. The parents don't want to put their foots down or set those boundaries or do all that. And it could be that the parents are lazy or don't want it to give it that much effort and so on. And also, parenting by grace doesn't mean overcompensating or protecting our kids too much. Sometimes, I have a relative that finally had to go to prison because of some criminality. But his mother, ever since he was a lovely lady, I love her, she's a Christian, but she always bailed him out. She never let him suffer the consequences, something you alluded to, Joseph. He was always getting bailed out from the consequences of his decisions. And it's almost like an overprotective maternal instinct or something. And it caused them marriage problems, too, between the dad and her, because he wanted his son to pay some of the consequences, and she didn't. She buffered that and protected him at all costs. And finally, he got into a situation in his 20s, late 20s, that he had to face up to legally, and she couldn't bail him out anymore. And so we can't overcompensate either. Nor does God's grace equal permission for nonsense. Just wanted to point that out.
Man, that's so good, and it's so true. When you talk about the word consequence, and there is a consequence for everything, for every good and bad behavior, right? You reap what you sow. I mean, it's a principle, right? It's bigger than we are, right? But I fully believe that peace is possible in all of our homes, and it does begin with the parents. And, you know, Encouragement Now wants to say to those of you that were yanked up, maybe not raised up, maybe neglected, you know, we understand that sometimes you don't have a roadmap. And we would say, first off, you know, the Bible is your roadmap, and we would encourage you to do a lot of studying, because that's where I found myself, right? I was raised in many different homes, right? They all did the best that they could, but I started parenting with knowing what not to do. And that's helpful, but it's not the best. And so this is way before, you know, the internet and all that. So I made a big habit of going to the library and studying a lot of books on parenting. And, you know, the thing is, not everybody agrees, but, you know, you can perceive truth when you receive it. right? Most of what I perceived was just simple, right? And that is that it's, you know, loving your child is not brain surgery. You know, it's pretty simple, right? But how to have a strategy may not be so simple. So this is what I've always said to parents, and I love this conversation around parenting, and I have for many, many, many years. And that is that you can have peace in your home, but the way that peace is brought about is that there is clarity. And I love what you were talking about, Joseph, because really what he was saying is that his children had a different currency. What mattered to one child didn't matter to the other. And I'm always reminding myself and others, everybody has a currency. Everybody has something that motivates them and moves them and gives them a desire to do something. And this is, you know, a fact of parenting. And I've had some parents say, well, but I don't know what that is. And I say, well, that's your job to find out. Your job is to know what your child's currency is so that it can be both their blessing and it can be both their consequence. So I was telling somebody recently that if you keep finding yourself in a circular bad emotion with your children, which is you tell them, they ignore you. You tell them again, they ignore you. You scream, they ignore you. You feel terrible. And then finally they see that you've reached your limit and then they do it. But by then you're emotionally exhausted. And so what I tell them is you have not been clear. You have not talked about the blessings and the consequences, and you haven't yet walked them out. So this is what I'm saying to you, parent. Peace is possible when parents are very clear. When before the incident, whatever the incident is going to be, right? Whether we're talking about chores or homework, cleaning their room, it really doesn't matter. It all applies, is when we say to them, listen, it's really up to you how you want to earn the right, fill in the blank for their currency, to be able to do this. However, if you don't do this, right, no anger, no accusation, no screaming. If you don't do this, this is what you're not going to be able to do. Okay, and that's on you. I love you. I hope you choose the right thing, but ultimately it's your decision. And this really can work for any age, because just like Joseph shared, this is a very little kid, but kids are brilliant. Okay. Now here's the next part where parents often fail is they make the consequence something that they won't live out. So parents, you have to choose something that is grace-filled. You know, it matches the child's age. It matches, you know, the what is being required of them. And then you have to actually live it out. But here's why I know peace is possible. Because when a parent is clear and when they are consistent, because you know your child's currency, what motivates them, and they achieve it or lose it, and they experience the blessing of it or they experience the pain of not having it, what they've done is they've begun to self-discipline themselves. And this is what I say to parents. That's really your job. Your job is to teach them the word of the Lord, how it is a perfect foundation, and how they need to self-discipline themselves. Because one day, and I know that you know this, listener, one day you're not going to be able to oversee them. But if they have been trained to understand the blessings and the consequences for themselves, they will begin to make some different choices.
Yeah. I like what you said about the pain. You know, we're pain avoiders. You know, by nature, we don't like pain, so we want to avoid it. And sometimes disciplining our children can be painful. Disciplining ourselves can be painful too. And we think, oh, I don't want to do this because it may cause them pain. Well, either one of two things is going to happen. They're going to experience pain and correction from you, or they're going to experience pain and correction from the world. And the world is not a loving place. As much as the world wants to say, hey, we're the best, we love everybody, we want, it's very unforgiving. And it's actually paradoxical. And so the paradox that we sometimes face is, well, I didn't grow up with a good example of how to do proper parenting. Or I didn't have an opportunity to really think this through before I became a parent. And I'll have to say this is that most of us never do. We still have to try to do things to the best of our abilities. So that grace sometimes need to be applied to us as parents. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things wrong. We're not going to be perfect. If perfection is our standard, we're going to fail every single time. So we have to model out for our children, and we do model it whether we like it or not. We have to model out how we're supposed to do things. Sometimes that may mean that we need to start changing the way we are. If we go from the thought of do what I say, not as I do type, we're being a hypocrite. We're practicing hypocrisy. And children, they pick up on hypocrisy like sponges, and they can see it a mile away. So you can say, oh, I don't want you to do that, but mommy, you do that, or daddy, you do that. You know, don't use those words. Well, where do you think they probably got it from? Right. Or, you know, we think, oh, I grew up in an environment that was very bad. I don't want to do that. But they end up going to the opposite extreme and start doing things that are bad on the opposite side of what they think is bad. So we have to be able to step back and say, okay, well, what do I do? How can I start a foundation that's good? Well, just like what Laura says, we need to go to the scriptures first. We need to have a good foundation. That foundation is there to be able to build on top of. And this is what I kind of use with parents every once in a while, is if you really want to understand how God deals with his children, sometimes you need to go to the Old Testament and look at how the children of Israel, or God's children, when they left Egypt and had to go to the promised land, what was God's frustrations? What was he dealing with? What are some of the things that he had to deal with them? Well, he gave them a lot of grace. You know, there are so many times he was ready to just wipe them out and start over, right? But he gave them grace. He was also true to his word. You know, yeah. He did what he said he would do, but he also gave room for mercy. Yeah. Right. And so if we look at, because a lot of people will say, oh, that's an angry God. No, I don't see an angry God when I look at the Old Testament. I actually see a loving God, one that gives corrective consequences, one that is true to his word, one that never fails. And he's the same God in the New Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. We have to be careful on how we frame who God is to our children. We have to be careful on how we frame who God is to us. And so a lot of times when somebody says, oh, it's an angry God, I say, okay, let's talk about it. What are the circumstances? Why do you feel this way? Why is this is something that you feel is your projection on God? And a lot of times it may go back to our childhood. It may go back to the way we were raised. You know, a lot of people, they look at their heavenly father the same as their earthly father. And so we have to then start changing the way we think. We need to start renewing our mind, and the Holy Spirit will help us to see something different, will help us to see those things. You know, one of the things that the blessings that God had for Israel, you know, in Numbers chapter 6, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You know, that blessing that Moses had for the children of Israel, you know, coming from God, was in Numbers chapter 6. But if you go to Numbers chapter 14, God said, God gave consequences to the children of Israel because they said it would be better if we went back to Egypt and died in Egypt, or if we died in the desert. And God said, okay, I'll grant your wish. For the next 40 years, you're going to die in the desert until every last one of you has died, and then your children will go into the promised land. Right? He had consequences. And so he understands what it's like to be a parent. He understands what it's like to have to discipline and to do this. And so we have to have a balance. We have to be able to balance how we discipline our children. We have to balance how much grace we give. We have to balance the expectations. We have to sometimes go, okay, I really screwed up. Maybe I shouldn't have made that promise that I made, or I, you know, maybe made it a little too heavy on the disciplinary side, you know, but we have to be able to sit with our children and say, I'm sorry. You know, will you forgive me? Or sit down with them and say, hey, let's talk about what you just did, and allow them to talk it through, because they may be saying something and we missed a specific thing that caused them to go, I don't want to do that. And so we have to be able to sit with our children, and it takes time, but sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes there's pain. We're pain avoiders. And we say, I don't have time for this. They're always doing this. Well, why? Right? We have to ask why. There are times where I'm like, they're really getting on me today. Why didn't they do the thing that I asked them to do? And I go, hey, did you forget something? They're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do the dishes. And then they go off and do it. So, you know, because I could walk in and go, hey, I told you to do the dishes. Why didn't you do the dishes? And then they're in fear. They're in, you know, oh no, I just made my dad angry. So we have to be very careful on what we do. And we should be very careful on how we do certain things. And we need to ask questions, but also have grace and mercy and forgiveness.
A lot of things you said, Joseph, we could take off on. The latest thing you said is because I said so, or, you know, why, you know, well, you didn't quite say it like that, but I get a lot of children who don't understand and parents who continue to do this to their children. Dad, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Well, that why is an opportunity for us to impart understanding rather than compliance. If we as parents can't say, hey, you need to clean the dishes because it's better to eat off of a clean dish and it makes the kitchen look better, you'll feel better. Just impart that understanding rather than because I said so. That imparts fear and trepidation and all the wrong emotions. And so, and you said something that's very powerful, Joseph, that our parenting can turn our children, if we don't do our parenting correct, and we're all going to make mistakes, but when I say don't do it correct, I mean setting a pattern of dysfunction in our parenting styles, then we can turn our children away from the church community. Because us as fathers, we represent God the Father. The mothers represents the church. And if we are not doing being moms and being fathers right, we will turn our children away from the church family community. They won't trust that family. They won't trust the church family. And so everything we do as physical parents, emotionally, mentally, and whatever towards our children will affect their spiritual outcome in church attendance or not.
Right.
Why do you think the devil is working so hard on it? And if he can affect children's church attendance, then he's really discounting and diminishing their reliability on spiritual principles. It's all there. And he's got him defeated right from the beginning. So it's just that meaningful. And I belonged to a denomination one time that talked about grace a lot. I even taught in a group in seminary about grace. The professor wanted me to look up all the scriptures about grace. and teach this group, which were very smart, converted, dedicated Christians. So it was a pleasure and an honor to teach them about grace. Or they could have probably taught me, but he wanted me to do it. But anyway, they taught prevenient grace, where God's grace goes before us. It's with us the whole entire way, and is also with us when we make mistakes. God's grace is given mostly, or not, I wouldn't say mostly, but when we acknowledge our mistakes, we're remorseful and we want to change. But parents make it so conditional. And what children, even if they grow up and they go to church, their relationship with God becomes a performance anxiety basis, conditional. I wonder if I'm praying enough. I'm wondering if I'm studying enough. I'm wondering if I'm, and instead of a grace relationship that's natural and organic and fluid and close and all that, it's a fear based thing. And so we have to really be careful as parents. And there's an admonition in Ephesians 6 that I would like to read. If we are parenting, or grace doesn't mean being a drill sergeant. And so, or being mean-spirited. And this scripture, Paul reminds us in verse 3 and 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So if our parenting style is a mean, hey, you have to be compliant because I said so. If you have to resort to because I said so, you have a lot of insecurities in you as a parent to start with that needs to be attended to, or we do. And if we get to that, if we devolve to that point, having a mean parenting style, that can exacerbate oppositional behaviors. And it really can. And then all of a sudden, people are oppositional in their relationships. They're oppositional towards their supervisor at work. They're oppositional towards the government. They're oppositional towards good rules and structure. They're oppositional towards everything. And so Paul's not saying this because he wants to whistle Dixie. He's saying this because it has implications in the lives that we live. And so, and there's a scripture later that I would like to share out of 2 Timothy 2, that if we as parents have devolved down into arguing with our children and really belittling them and cutting them off at the knees, and we don't know how to handle this oppositional state that we probably created to start with, and blame it again on the kids. I don't know how many thousands of parents I've had to bring me their kids for an hour. Here's my kid, correct them, and I'll be back and make them perfect. When 99% of the time it was the parents are dysfunctional. And I'm sorry if I'm being explicit, but I am being explicit because it's usually the parents. The kids are a moldable piece of clay that becomes who we create them to be. They have their own decisions, especially when they get up to be the teenagers, as Laura referred to. But before that, they're pliable, and they're going to take on the approach and love that we either give or don't give. And so, but yet the parents, they blame the kids on everything. And boy, I can see right through that when they bring their kids to me. And anyway, I've said enough.
Well, we can tell that you have gone around this mountain a few times with quite a few parents. And so it moves our hearts because we want to see people be set free.
Right.
And what I would connect to what you were saying is that a parent can find themselves disconnected within their own hearts, because everything that Kevin just explained and expressed is that there's been a breakdown in relationship, or maybe there never was a relationship. And I think that, you know, here's a simple principle, listener, that you can apply to your life, because it's pretty life-changing if we remember this. And that is, we judge ourselves by the way we feel, but we judge others by the way they behave. Now, you just think about that. You know, this is where the disconnect is oftentimes for us as parents, is because we forget how we felt as children, but we focus on how we feel now, right? And we can feel stressed and feel obligated and feel pulled in 1,000 different directions. And all of those things may be true, but we have disconnected from our own heart. And when we disconnect from our own heart, we're often disconnected from the heart of God, if not 100% of the time. And then it's easy to become disconnected even from those we love the most. Because, you know, gentlemen, I believe that the majority of parents, even that are not training up their child correctly, it has nothing to do with how much they love them, but they have fallen into a trap that has been set by the enemy. And you both have really laid it out. There's lots of traps. There's lots of ways to do this. And so I go back to this thought about currency and knowing what your child's currency, you know, for some, you know, it's going roller skating. For another, it's sports. You know, for another, it's snuggles and reading a little bit longer at night. For some, it's money. And I know that I love simple examples. And so I want to just give four simple, quick examples of what that looks like and how it's played out, because that's how I best learn. So I think about my first experience of really living this out with my children. We had a big, heavy front door and two little children at the time, and they were running in and out, and I was afraid little fingers were going to get smashed in that door. And so what I understood is interruption. And so I would call them in. I'm telling you, parents, you don't have to scream. There doesn't have to be yelling. There can be peace. And I'd say, every time that you don't close the door correctly, which is very slow, right? I'm going to stop you, and you're going to come back, and you're going to close the door 10 times. Well, they were little, but think about, I think they were like 5 and 3.5. But you know what? I only had to interrupt their playtime a few times that they would come back 1, 2, 3, to up to 10. That's an eternity for a 5-year-old. But guess what? That behavior changed really quickly. Why? They self-disciplined themselves because they didn't want to be interrupted. And guess what? Mom didn't yell. Okay. The second experience I had is I had a wonderful time spending time with my niece for a short time in her life. She went to kindergarten. She was a chatty Cathy. And that teacher, I thought she was going to pull her hair out. Okay. She did not know what to do with my little sweet niece. She just kept sending sad face after sad face after sad face. Didn't yell, didn't accuse, didn't threaten, but this is what I did. She was very social. And so I said to her, by now I had my 3 children. And when it was time, they've come home, they've done what they needed to do. Now they're going to go off and play. And I'd say, I'm very sorry, but you don't get to play with them. That was the end of the world to her. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but you already had all your social time at school. So you've already had your social time. Now they're going to go off and have their social time. Now, when you can bring me 3 happy faces out of 5 days, right, then you can have your social time too, right? It's reasonable. It's self-directed. I'm not yelling. I'm not condemning, but I'm letting her feel her choice is what they cost her. Well, I promise you that did not take long at all. She's bringing home happy face. Why? Because I understood her currency was connection and social. Okay. And so she earned it because she wanted what she wanted. Another example was my kindergartner. I have 3 kids. Parents, you can really appreciate this. Back to school is, it's so expensive. Just between the clothing and the sneakers and the dress shoes. And then it comes time for the long list of all of the things you got to buy, all of the, you know, the pencils and the pencil box and the this and the that, you know. So I have my kindergartner and I say to her, we're going to go in the store. We're going to buy everything on this ridiculously long list. Okay. I'm imagining it's going to cost me about $40. And this was a lot of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't have 1 penny extra because guess what? I got 2 other kids I got to go and do school shopping for, right? And so I said to her, she's 5. I said, listen, we're going to go in. We're going to buy everything on this list. And you're not going to ask me for anything else. If you do, okay, then we're going to put everything back and we're going to go home. Okay. See, no yelling, clarity. Do you agree? We were in agreement. And that little cutie waits until everything's in the bag. We're walking out of the store and she points to the, you know, gumball machine. Can I have a quarter for that? Now, just like what Joseph was saying, we as parents don't want our children to feel pain. But I had to always teach my children, I'm very consistent. I say what I mean and I mean what I say. Now I couldn't go take this stuff back. So I said to her, I am so sorry that now these things are going to have to go on top of the fridge because we made an agreement. We would not be buying anything other than this. And of course she cried and it was dramatic and my heart melted and I wanted to give it to her. But I also knew this was an important lesson. And so we went home. Think of this as like being on Thursday. I had to put it on the fridge and she couldn't take it till Monday. That's an eternity for a child. It mm-hmm. broke my heart for her, but I got to remind her, no yelling, no condemning, right? Just saying, that's the choice you made, sweetheart. I'm sorry, that's the choice you made. And then last one is a favorite one of mine is parents. I had a daughter who was, she was in brownies and she had to take her dollar every week for her brownie dues. And every week, this is what happened. I would give her dollar. I would ask her to put it in her pocket. She would put it on the sink and she'd say, I'm going to. And she never did. Okay. So that lasted for about 4 weeks. And finally, the last morning I said to her, put the dollar in your pocket, because if you don't take it today, I'm going to come to the school, but it's going to be to pick you up and bring you home. No yelling, no screaming, no condemning. She said, okay, like she said every other week. And guess what she did? She left it on the sink. So at 3 o'clock, I drove to the school. She saw me. She was so excited because guess what? She's going to get her dollar. And I said to her, please get into the car. Oh my goodness. Why? I just need my dollar. I said, that was the choice you made. You made the decision to not put the dollar in your pocket. I'm sorry. That's the choice you made, but get into the car. We're going home. No yelling, no screaming, no condemning. But I guarantee you, gentlemen, every week after that, she put the dollar in her pocket. And this is what we're saying, parents. It's grace-filled to tell your children in advance what the blessing and what the consequence will be, because then they self-discipline themselves. And if you would say to me, well, it doesn't matter what I say to my child, right? Then nothing works. It's because you haven't found their currency. You just simply have not found their currency. And then I would say either pay more attention or begin to expand their world. Begin to take them to places that they, you know, normally haven't gone to. I don't care if it's the library, it's the park. Expand their world so that they begin to love other things, so that they can be blessed by those things, and or that can be the currency with which you get to say, I'm so sorry, but we already talked in advance. You would not be able to go to the park this week if this wasn't meant. Again, no screaming, no condemnation, right? But building relationship. Back to what you were saying, Kevin, and that's how I'm, you know, that's how I was adding on to what you were saying, is because it is about relationship. We need to remember what it feels like to be little children, to not know how the world operates, but having an adult teach us the way that the world operates in a way that we can comprehend.
Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.